with your host, Cynthia Sloan. Blessings to you on this day and every day. I hope wherever you are in the journey of your life, you are experiencing the opportunity to always answer your own question. What do I mean? What I mean is, I hope that if you're asking, am I lovable, that you are answering yes. I hope that if you're asking, am I pretty enough or handsome enough, that you are answering yes. I hope that if you are saying, I hope that I get into that friend group or they like me, that you are saying to yourself, I like me. And if they don't, that's okay, because who does like me is on their way. And I say all this first for you and with you, because on Awakening Matters, I cover topics from the physicality of self-consciousness to self-paralyzation to emotional paralyzation to higher concepts and everything in between, duality, oneness, etc. And today I was talking to my spirit council, and they were remarking, our spirit guides, like we all do, and I was communicating with them, and they were remarking on my ability to, in times of my life, want something from someone or something, and maybe that's a topic and a narrative that runs through many people's lives. Maybe it's about family. Maybe it's about something about a friend, a loved one, or what have you. And for a long time, my spirit council would hear what I have to say and share with me many things. So what I've come around to is realizing that when I, and again, if it resonates with you, if it doesn't, make it your own. I'm just sharing what has been my journey and what works for me. And so I've come to the realization, and I'm sure I've touched on this previously, but so important in these times, that I have become the light that I seek. I've become the fullness of love that I seek. I've become the freedom that I desire. All of this is not based on my external surroundings changing, on anything from, when I say freedom, anything other than internally, no longer attached to the past, nor letting it define me. And so the freedom comes in when I know who I am now, which is the only moment we have, and I choose that moment. And that's key, is you can know many things about yourself or that you desire for yourself or that you desire to receive from others, but until you allow yourself to become that which you desire, and then to say, and I choose that, therefore I become that, and it is done, then you start living with it. I will say, sometimes right away you start living from that conscious awareness, and you start making choices of somebody who has chosen not to seek love outside themselves, but to embody it so fully with such clarity and such compassion and anything that you want from another that you offer to yourself, that you start embodying that so fully that then the external world starts relating to you in that way. And that's what I'm referring to. And that way can be whatever you need that you feel you don't have access to. If there's something in the world that you don't have access to, if there's something in your family, in your relationship, in anything that you don't have access to, and most especially if you don't feel heard, if you don't feel seen, if that's happening, then the universal message is you have yourself enough of what you seek from another to not only fill yourself up, but to fill it, filling up and over and allowing yourself to say that which I want from another, that other is not available to themselves, let alone being able to offer me what I desire. And so what is it going to feel like? Let me just go in there and say, I am the love that I seek. I am the light that I seek. And in my life particular, which many will be able to relate to, I hope, I went all the way back to my first breath and again, forward from there. And I truly did see that I was held by a love language, not human, a higher love language, whatever you want to call it. But I was held there from being a child, held by that, sustained by that, understood by that, renewed by that higher love, all the way through till now, approaching 60. And so when we do a review of our lives, it is often that we will do that review based upon events that have occurred. And so I went in and did a review, not based on events, but what held me through those events. Truly, what was it that held me? For me, personally, it has been a higher love, inner guidance, an inner language, communicating with me about things that my mind hadn't even conceived of yet. And so, so much information has been given from that time till now. And so what I say to you is, if it resonates, do an inner inventory, not about the events, not only about the events that happened, but what carried you through those events, what carried you through the times in your life, all the way until now, and ask yourself, were you carrying yourself? Did you feel held? Did you feel seen, not by something external, but internal? Did rejection become God's protection? But certainly I have found that in my life, and I have been grateful upon grateful. So many things to look at and to experience, and more importantly, to feel, because your mind has one language, your feeling body has another, and they can communicate with each other. And so it's been an amazing, really celebratory experience to go there with myself and to feel. So what I got out of it was serene, calm, clarity, and peace. And so that's available to you too. And adding to that, whatever else you would like to add to that. Then I started thinking about this language. I do a lot of gardening. I love it. I just love it. It fills me so. I do a lot of things, but I'm just going to talk about gardening right now. Love gardening. And today when I was gardening and I was looking at the trees, looking at the flowers, the different colors, forms, names, looking at the leaves, looking at the grass, looking at the entire tapestry, I found myself asking with my inner voice, connecting first to the beauty of all that surrounds me and the gratitude, a depth of gratitude that goes beyond words, to be a witness to that orchestra creating music that the heavens can hear and that we as humans are here to celebrate. And that is, of course, the natural landscape in which I speak of. And so I found myself inquiring with the leaves, holding a leaf and asking, from my heart to the heart. And if you're new here, yes, I believe every living, breathing form has the ability to communicate, to feel joy, to feel sorrow, all of that. And most importantly, to go back to, has a language and the ability to communicate. And so holding that leaf, closing my eyes and going to my heart center, my inquiry to that leaf was, do you communicate? How do you know? Who are you talking to? How do you know this? We as humans go, oh, it's spring, this happens. Oh, it's winter, this happens. Oh, it's fall, this happens. Really, who taught who? Was it not bearing witness to what nature does in those time frames and then repeat? Were we not being communicated with by what we saw? And then we made it our own. But in communicating with this leaf, going back to that, truly was a dialogue of such innocent, pure truth of where do you come from and what language do you speak? How do you know to be creating your leaves literally underneath the shadow of this tree? How do you know, beautiful plants, to not crowd out that plant? And I know that happens. But my questioning was really, how do you all know? How does this orchestra happen? How does this language happen? And, of course, I received a response. And the response that I received was, we are one. We are one. It can be a leaf, a tree. It can be a flower. It can be a mountain. And it can be in my backyard or front yard, or it can be on the other side of the world. It can be anywhere. The beauty of Mother Nature is that that language can be heard by all the species that benefit from what she offers, that not only benefit, but are a part of her. And so this sacred language is not only a language of oneness, but it is being communicated 24 hours a day. It never stops. And so it took me into deeper into my yard where I was working with some dirt that had been sitting there for a bit. And as I moved the dirt, I saw, the garden lovers, the little bugs or nature beetles or what have you, moving around. And what I realized was there are layers. There are layers of life existing within Mother Nature. It's not just what you can see. It's what you can't see. I saw a video the other day which made me laugh really hard. I think it was on, I'm not sure what platform, but it was of somebody looking at, I think it was a weed. It was most certainly not alive. And somebody or something was pulling on it from underneath the ground, not above it. And so you saw on this video this plant being pulled down and then back up and down and then back up. And then all of a sudden, whoop, being pulled down into a hole. And then the earth covers the hole, done. And so, again, it brought me back to the layers of life that exist that are of zero importance to most humans, but was so important for tonight because they said there is one language. And when I went from flower to tree to leaf, same answer. We are one. There is no separation. We are one. And so that means there's a continuity and a connection, which I've spoken of before, of choice. There's a language of choice. Because to be one and to not begin attacking each other, so to speak, is a choice to live amongst each other, speaking as one, knowing that if you get hurt, I get hurt. If I destroy you, you destroy me. if I love you and experience the greatest, grandest version of you, then I experience that about myself. If I realize that you're going to have hard days, if I realize that you're going to be out of your mind emotionally and you need anchoring or you need help or you need someone to grab your hand, that I'm not going to judge you and destroy you for that and make you wrong. I'm going to be there for you because I know someday in my life, in return, I'm going to need that. And so when I say choice, I mean we all have a choice. Of course we do. What we're going to eat, what we're going to see, what we're going to drink, what we're going to think. Now, when I talked about the layers of nature, I also want to address how we are similar because we have layers within us. The layer of Mother Nature is deep-rooted. So are we. Our mind is connected, actually, more to the deep roots that move through us, where the heart center is connected more to everything, but more to the choices that we're making. As an example to you, I'm talking about a bridge between everything we see around us, everything that we see around us and ourselves. The bridge is not only about what we choose to see, but how we choose our free will to react to that. As an example, I said I was gardening. I indeed was. I was wearing gloves, and there's this particular gorgeous tree with massive thorns on it. I was nowhere near, I thought, the thorns. When I reached down and I just grabbed what I thought was dead leaves, etc., and I just put them in my palm. And when I did, I closed my palm, and one of those really thick thorns just basically made a home deep through the glove and deep into my thumb. And I looked down and I went, wow, ow, okay. And in that moment, I heard a voice. And I thought, wait, I thought I didn't, who's here? And literally it was the thorn connected to the plant. And it was, you have to make a choice. And I've heard that. I have heard that manifested in my life at the most pivotal times. And I mean, literally, I've had beings manifest in my life that were not there and were not there after, but during, were most certainly there, look at me and say, you have to make a choice. And so all of a sudden, I'm hearing that again. You have to make a choice. Mind you, the thorn is still in my finger. And so when I heard you have to make a choice, I said, how do you mean that? And what I was told is nothing happened unless you believe it. And so if you remove the thorn, I have to fully engage in my own being to receive what I believe in my mind, what a thorn in your finger feels like. And so this was clearly, for me anyway, an incredibly wonderful exercise, not only in free will, but in the magnetics of cellular technology. And what I mean by that is when I looked at my thumb and I looked at the thorn in it, I immediately said, I have to make a choice about the suffering in this moment. I have to make a choice about the suffering in this moment. And with that thought, no suffering, no pain in my finger. I removed the thorn. Yes, there was blood. And then quickly it was gone. And there was no pain. And so, does it mean it's wrong if there's pain? No, not at all. I'm sharing an experience I had with you that was very enlightening to me. May not be to you. Then later on in the day, still gardening, my dog wants to say something. How interesting. Later on in the day, I was stung by a bee. Yeah, I was stung by a bee. Immediately, my reaction was, oh no, is the bee going to be okay? That's just how I am. And so the bee was fine, even though sometimes organically when a bee stings, it's not so fine. It was fine, and I got it to where it needed to go. And then what's fascinating is that the area that it stung started swelling. I'm allergic to bees. Well, my belief is that I'm allergic to bees. So it started swelling, and I thought, okay, well, maybe this is why I was contemplating earlier, is this my truth? Now, mind you, where is the connective piece to all of this? We are all the same, the thorn, the bee, myself. Where is the connective piece to this? We all speak a similar language. Where is the connective piece to this? I have a say-so in my molecular cellular construct of how to inform it to respond. Because if I don't inform that body part how to respond, the mind takes over and goes, I know, on page 145, it says here, okay, if you get stung, you need an EpiPen, you need all this stuff, and lots of chaos. And so, not going to my mind, but staying calm with the language, I immediately started communicating with the cells that were expanding. And said, I do not choose it. I seriously do not choose this. And then, for those of you who can relate, I kissed my thumb. I sent it love, and I kissed my thumb. And I went about my business. I actually put my glove back on because I had made a decision. And to me, there was no other decision in that envelope of time, in that envelope of experience, in that envelope of communication that would go any other way. It was like, I've not only made this decision, and I have to make a choice, and I did, but my body is on the same wavelength, same language as everything is. And so that means I didn't go to my mind, I went to my intention, set the intention, used my words, and it was done. So there was, so nothing came of it. There was no need for, the swelling diminished, went away, and there was no need for anything, not even a pain reliever. And so I thought, wow, okay, I'm not overriding anyone's experience here. I'm not, because I will tell you, I've had different experiences than the one I just shared with you throughout my life. So not so easy one. But with the clarity of making a choice and then seeing my physical environment respond to that choice also came from the clarity of I not only speak the same language, but I am loved, I am worthy, and I allow myself to have this experience. And it is done. And so my body did not have much to go on to create chaos. So my commitment had to be there, and it was. And then that got me thinking, what do you consider sacred? What do you consider sacred? I mean, yes, do you consider your spirituality sacred? Yes, but I'm not talking about that. I am talking about, and I honor that, whatever you consider sacred, but I am talking about, what do you consider sacred about you? What speaks to you about your sacredness? Because if you haven't asked yourself that question, you need to, I think you need to, so you can understand, if you do, why you do not treat yourself as sacred. I'll tell you that, you know, we're not really surrounded by a humanity that uses the word sacred, or a humanity that even treats itself as sacred. And so oftentimes, to think that way, so change the word. What do you consider about you as loving? And so I say to you, basically what I'm getting at is, where do you love yourself and treat yourself well? Where do you put yourself beyond your problems, beyond your chaos, beyond what other people think about you, and who cares? And beyond, for a long time in my life, I cared what people thought until I realized I did, because I did not care about myself enough to create a definition that would no longer react to anyone else's definition, period. The understanding of that comes with, if somebody doesn't see you or like you, or and somebody doesn't see you, they don't like you, they judge you, they get into groups, and they feel less worthiness, and so they like to talk about and break down somebody else who knows that they are worthy, etc. To have those experiences is to know and to come to a place where, wait a second, if I fill myself up with a real and true, not false, not hoping, not, you know, I hope this sticks, etc. No, real and true, connected to a higher source, knowing that the higher source dwells within me and has carried me my entire life, whatever that looks like for you. And then make that, throughout any form you choose, create your own self-definition that no one and no thing can take away from you. Now, does that mean you guard it with your life? No. Does that mean you fight for it? No. Does that mean you struggle with people if they don't have it, don't see it, etc.? No. It's you understand that other people, those closest to you and those furthest away, those who were close to you at one time and now they join a group, or there are people that talk about you because that's how that person gets attention, or, I don't know, runs away from themselves. But the point is, your opportunity is to move into a state of, wait a second, I'm at a different place emotionally, mentally, and spiritually than other people are. And in a way, if you get to that place with yourself, your reaction, so you have to get there with yourself first, but your reaction with somebody else will be gone. It'll be gone. You won't feel it because you won't need it. You'll understand that those around you can only understand you through their own soul evolution. So if they're moving into their soul evolution, they're going to get you. If they don't get you, that's okay. If they don't get you and they start bad-mouthing you or talking about you from the past or lying to you, that's about them. It has nothing to do with you. And so, is any of that fun? No, you don't throw a party and go, yay, the people I trusted lied to me, are lying to me, talking with people that are making up more lies. But at a certain point, and I hope for you sooner than later, you'll get to a point where you'll go, yeah, that's what they need. It just doesn't change who I am. And if I die knowing that I'm the only one who holds the truth, that's not true either. Because I do believe, because I've been visited folks too many times not to. I do believe in loved ones visiting. I do believe in guides and angels. I do believe in all of that. Why? Because I wanted to? No. Because when it started happening at a very young age, I started opening my eyes to what is really here versus what we pay attention to. There's so much more. Meaning, circling back, nature has a language that it is communicating with itself and each other at all times. All times. And when something happens to you, whether you get stung by a bee or whether a thick thorn gets stuck in your finger, none of those are fun. Say not fun. I'm not saying be something that you're not, even have your experience. But I am saying you have the other experience as well. And I'm saying this from experience. Experience, experience, meaning I'm not saying, hey, I hope this happens. I don't know. No. I've had this experience. So if it has been an experience for one human, it is available for all. And that's why I share this stuff. And so when I say to myself, how can I make a choice in suffering today and hurting or communicating with what's happening? And I did, and there was, it all shifted. It all shifted. And so I say that to you, make it your own. Make it your own. Truly. Have the experience. It's one that will never leave you, I'm telling you right now. Because all of the human consciousness that came before you ripped your finger off, or you got stung, or you got a thorn in your finger, all the humanity that came before that, the records are there. These are your options. Let's just take this as an example only. So that happens, and then your mental body goes to the, let's say the human book, if you will, the human Akashic records, or however you see it, or maybe just goes to your relatives. Same thing. But in any case, you go there and it says, you need surgery. You need to get your finger cut off. Or you need to wear a hat for 3 hours and wrap your hand. Whatever it says. Okay? The key here is the opportunity that remains is for you to go, what if, and that's me. If you're listening to me right now and I'm saying this is your opportunity. You asked for it and you're receiving it. It's real and it's true and it happened. If it happened to me, then it's available to you. And what happened was not me ignoring it and going, no, I have to be in pain and I have to go get an EpiPen and I have to this or that. Again, I was talking to the plants and having these experiences. Oh my God, if you take your mind, not put it aside but let it witness, but take your heart and communicate with the living forms around you, you would get so much more information. You would get information that resonated with you, with whatever you were dealing with. You would feel empowered, you would feel calm, you would feel peace, and most importantly, I didn't need an EpiPen, which was great because I didn't have one. So, my point being, there are so many things in this universe, in this most precious of form worlds that are here not to just be, but if you take the time to talk to a tree, listen to a leaf, and understand the universal flow of who you are, that there is a connection between you and all that is, you also start to give yourself tools. And please, if something comes to mind and it's a tool for you in your particular circumstance, try it. Change it. Make it your own. But if it's coming to you as an idea and it's to better your situation, then you might as well know it's coming from your higher self. And yes, I do believe in a higher self. My higher self has been very, very helpful my entire life since I arrived. And oh boy, did I need its help. So there's a great level of trust there. And so I say to you that what you consider sacred, I hope that you consider yourself sacred. I am here to tell you that if nobody else considers you sacred, consider yourself sacred. Why? Why? Why if nobody else thinks I'm sacred, would I be sacred? Because it's not up to them to give you sacredness or to take it away. In fact, whenever we don't feel sacred, we have given it away. But we ourselves have given it away. We ourselves are giving away our self-esteem. We ourselves are giving away our purpose for being or our reason for being, or if somebody doesn't like us, we replace that purpose with their version. And so sometimes people are in our lives to reveal mirrors to us. And if you don't work with that mirror doesn't go anywhere. It takes growing and changing, all of it. Growing, changing, talking, interacting, first with yourself, then with the other. Because if you go to somebody and you have not yet met yourself, your truth, your inner dialogue, even what your peace feels like, you start to expect it's somebody else's job to offer me that. And even if they do, it will be short-lived because they are meant to hold their own, and maybe they can be a mirror to you of you holding your own. And most importantly, joy. To not withhold joy. Please, please, please find your joy in the smallest of moments to the biggest expressions. Find your joy. Don't have it be based on, I can't have fun right now because this is happening. I can't smile right now because that's happening. I can't because I'm afraid. You know you can smile if you're afraid. No, no, don't hang up. Listen. You can smile when you're afraid. What are you saying when you're smiling and you're afraid? You're not trying to talk yourself out of anything, but you're letting the fear know, I have all intents and purposes knowing, and you can change the wording, of course, that everything is going to work out. So I'm smiling because of that, in my favor, or for me, or for all of us. Why don't we say that? Why don't we say that? And so today, for myself, I was out gardening a tree, a bush, a tree, probably more of a bush than a tree, you know, the thorn one. But before that happened, it was leaning over a little bit, so I was trying to lighten its load, okay? And I was doing a good job until I saw all these white flowers in one corner and then over there above it and then below, and I thought, okay. And then I stopped moving, and I thought, whoops, wait a second. And then I realized there was a bird in the tree, and I tuned into the bird in the tree. Yes, I tuned into the bird in the tree, and the bird was panicked because it was making a nest in that tree that I was cutting away at And so immediately I stopped. Of course, I did. You don't have to. I did. So I stopped, and I became really still, and I connected with the bird, and I said to the bird, you are safe. You are safe. And so I moved away from the tree, and I said, I love the way it looks, and more importantly, I love the life that it is holding. I don't care that it's lopsided here or there. I love the life that it's holding and the white flowers coming out. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I celebrated it, and then I watered its base. And so I say to you, how we react to anything can either awaken us, make us feel light, show us another dimension, show us the dimensions that we are and that we exist in, or shut us down. And even that's okay. Maybe we need to be shut down for some time. And then we awaken. We are in the dimension of duality. And so, or the plane of demonstration, or whatever you want to call it. And so to have one means you'll have the other. And to be at peace with both is not only where I reside now, but it is also available to you within you. And so I invite you to go there. I also want to say that the last thing I want to say is when I speak about nature, trees, when I speak about landscapes and flowers, please know I'm not diminishing them in any way, shape, or form. I see the divine soul in all of them. I hear them. I communicate with them. And there is a love that is spread throughout nature that includes you. It doesn't exclude you. So looking and being marveling at nature, in turn, you are allowing yourself to marvel at you. So I say bye for just now, and much love.